This interview is with Dr. Ian Matthew, one of the authors of a series of 4 articles published in the JCDA about the levels of debt incurred by graduates of Canadian dental schools. Ian, why did your team write this series of articles?
The impetus was rapidly increasing tuition and clinic fees at professional programs across the country as governments decreased funding to universities. Professional programs, which are obviously more expensive to run, were the hardest hit, and dental schools were clearly most affected, with their need to operate their own teaching clinics, and that's in contrast to the medical programs, which can utilize publicly funded hospital systems. Also, I think it's important to note that in BC at least, part-time clinical teachers in medicine are funded by the health ministry, while dental schools must pay their part-time clinical teachers themselves. So the deans at every dental school were faced with difficult decisions, supporting increased fees to keep their programs going, to keep up with change, or risk serious deterioration in the quality of their educational programs, and perhaps worse.
What are the main points that you want dentists to take away from your series of articles?
I think the most important thing is a realization that we're reaching a crisis point in terms of funding for dental education. The present system of relying on private funding of student debt is quite unacceptable, and the levels of student debt are such that they may lead to major debt throughout the first 10 or even 15 years, perhaps, of a recent graduate's career, and worse, the possibility of mental health issues with the attendant stress that comes from this.
What sort of debt levels are you talking about?
Across the country, the amount of debt varies, but certainly in anecdotal conversations away from the study, I have had discussions with students who have come away with debts in the 200 and 300,000 mark. These levels of debt are not unusual.
What are the main policy implications from your research findings?
Well, in my opinion, there needs to be a complete rethink of the way professional programs are funded, in particular dentistry, because that's the area that I'm closest to. I feel that the federal government has to address the issue of funding of dental programs, and this can be done in a similar way to the medical system, whereby patients attending dental school clinics can receive treatment at discounted prices, or completely free, which is what I experienced in the United Kingdom when I was working in oral surgery clinics in dental schools there. That involvement from the health service is something that we have no experience of here in Canada. I think it's very important to start looking at alternative models of healthcare provision to reduce the burden of debt and to take the pressure off deans of dental schools. Furthermore, at the local level, the universities, I think it has to be said, do a very good job of providing as much support for the costs of dental education as possible, and they deserve credit for this. But we do stand a good chance of reaching a crisis level whereby universities have to say, well, we can't afford dentistry anymore in the future, and we have to avoid that, and I think it has to go on the shoulders of the federal government.
What struck you most about your research findings?
The thing that was interesting for me was discovering that the levels of debt across the country vary significantly, and it seems that in Quebec in particular, dental students are cushioned from much of the burden of debt that is experienced in other places. The levels of debt are far less amongst dental students graduating from Quebec, from what I can gather. And that's a good thing in many respects, because I can see that they appear to have far less of a priority in restoring their debt levels to zero than graduates from other schools around the country.
Ian, thank you very much for giving us this interview.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.